En podcast från Aftonbladet.
Avsnittet presenteras av Stödlinjen.se, åldersgräns 18 år.
I think the thing that stood out to Pelle, like the first time I saw him, like, is you just see, like, this guy, he's got an incredible physique. Like, he's built like crazy. I'm like, well, I don't know what you guys are lifting over there in Sweden, but it looks like everything.
Pelle Larsson har fått sitt stora genombrott i NBA den här säsongen. Den svenska 24-åringen har en framträdande roll i ett av ligans allra bästa lag, Miami Heat. Men om vi tar av oss de svenska glasögonen för en stund. Hur bra är det egentligen Pelle Larsson? Hur bra kan han bli? Och hur går snacket i Miami? Ja, det här ska vi prata om med Miami Heat-experten Brandon Tobin. Och du lyssnar på Sportbladet Dailys USA-special med mig, Andreas Tjeck. So, you've been covering Miami Heat for years. What's stood out to you so far this season, would you say?
Well, I could just say the environment around the team is a lot happier. Obviously, last year was really tough with all the uncertainty around the Jimmy Butler situation. Mm-hmm. You know, some of it organization, some of it Jimmy knowing. Maybe the organization should have known that it was coming, and a lot of it on Jimmy just because, you know, he knows how to hit the detonator on when he wants to leave a place. So it was very stressful on that entire locker room, I think, especially on the young guys because, you know, they're just – you know, starting off in the league. And I think this year, even from summer league, I just felt like the vibes were really, really positive around the team. And obviously winning helps. They've gotten off to a really nice start. I think the yep. entire roster is having a lot of fun with this style of play because it's basically play havoc defense and then kind of freelance, look for the open man in offense. And everybody's kind of getting their chance to shine.
Well, you mentioned it. They've been killing it so far this season, currently sitting at the top of the Southeast Division. I want to talk more about the team's success, but first I want to dig deeper into Pelle Larsson because this is, after all, a Swedish podcast. what do you think like about his performances so far this season?
I think become a fan favorite very, very quickly. It's funny. I was at, of all places, I was at this, in America, we have, you know, college football is really, really popular, American football. And I was at this, one of these big conferences, these big media days. And I actually ran into a guy who was an Arizona graduate and he like did all the uniform stuff for them. Right. And he was excited about Pelle Larsson because he's just like, you guys are going to love Pelle Larsson, full of like piss and vinegar, just like throws everything out with effort. He's like just perfect for your team. And so I was really excited once he got here because I just remember that. And I just remember the first, even preseason games, the thing that stood out about him was just this dude just flies all over the place, extra possessions, tipping balls, taking charges. And that's just translated throughout. Like he works obviously very hard at his game, but if you know, people always talk about like the Heat culture thing, and it's like he kind of already epitomized it right when he walked in, you know, like,
yep.
And I remember reading some of the quotes that, you know, people had about him in college and just like all of that stuff that he brought in. And it just felt immediately like he wanted to just fit a perfect role with this team. And you could just tell the coach took to him even as a young guy last year. Like, and that's, I can say even in his rookie year, it was one of the bright spots in what was probably one of the worst Heat seasons in recent memory. Mm-hmm. And then this year, what's just impressed is like they trusted him right out of the gate when Tyler Hero was hurt to start. And people were almost like talking about, hey, like, look, people are excited about having Tyler Hero back, but they were a little bummed because it meant less Pelle Larsson because of mm-hmm. how much people appreciate the way he plays his game. And it's almost become that we used to have this guy, Goran Dragic, on the team. And Goran yep. was kind of known as the guy who took like a lot of shots to the face and throwing his whole body. And that's become Pelle. Like Pella's just throwing his face into the defense, like a buzzsaw all over the time. And he's really improved on becoming more disciplined too. Like he used to get a little grabby with a couple fouls. Now he's just gotten so much better. I think he's one of the league leader in charges taken right now. So. Been impressed, man. Very, very impressed, but not surprised after what you saw last year.
You kind of alluded to it right there. I think he's second in the league in charges drawn. We've heard Coach Spo like giving him a lot of praise for his physical traits and his defensive skill set. I mean, this guy takes so many hits to the face like every game. Is that something the fans appreciate? Because like he's not necessarily a guy that's going to fill the stat sheet with like points and assists and rebounds, but seems like he's got an important role in this team.
And I think that's the good thing is I think a lot of Heat fans appreciate guys like that. They appreciate the Udonis Haslams of the world, the guys who will, you know, just play dogged defense. You think like a couple of years ago, even more recent, like a Gabe Vincent, who would, you know, drive guards nuts at all points. And Pella will guard up. Like he's going to take on some guys that are even bigger. It's very appreciated what he can do. And I think about even the other day, they were on a winning streak. They ended up losing to Detroit, but he was a huge part on that game. Was dead in the water. And he and Davion Mitchell were just such a huge element in just changing the energy of the game. And I could just say like Spo really appreciates things like that. Like he'll say all the time, guys will always focus on the box score and points, but he really loves those guys who will bring it. Balls to the wall all the time, crazy energy. And I think that this Heat team, you know, has got a lot of guys like that. But I would say like the guys who are really headed off are him, Davion Mitchell, and Drew Smith. Like they just make a nightmare for guys who are handling the basketball all the time. I think it's really appreciated. I think fans really dig Pella Larsson and are enjoying his time here so far.
There was obviously some injuries starting off the season. Tyler Herro being gone for multiple games. There was a stretch there where Pelly played, I think it was 15 games in a row when he was a starter. What do you think he proved to the coaches and the fans during that stretch?
I think he definitely showed like people didn't want him taken off just because they just knew that he brought some positivity. Like I think from Pella's standpoint, like he's a fearless driver. You know, he will go and attack the rim, but he's also really skilled at getting guys involved. I remember asking Kalel Ware this year, the Heat's young big man. They were draft classmates, and I asked him. I said, like, who throws the best lobs on the team? I said, is it Tyler? Is it Davion? Is it Nico Jovic? And he goes, Pella. He's like, I love the lobs from Pella, and those guys obviously from summer league and all the time they've had, really really close, and yeah, so I think his teammates really love him. And the thing that I like about Pella, you know, covering him, I haven't gotten to cover him a long time, but even in, you know, the times I've interviewed him, you know, just like so mellow and low key, but like you'll see him anytime he or his teammates do something, he's like a maniac. Like he just like the personality that he has on the court, it's like a different person. You know, people will say that sometimes, like you get on the sports field and like it just flips for him, it seems like.
Yeah.
But, you know, everybody just seems to really appreciate it. And he's showing more skill, too. Like, he works really, really hard. He works out before every game. His pregame coach is Caron Butler, who used to play for the Heat. Now he's one of their lead assistant coaches. And, man, those guys are relentless in the work they put in and the stuff they get done. And I think people are also surprised with just how athletic he is because Caron Butler will do this thing like before every game. He likes to get the guys like legs going, so he like will make them do some kind of crazy dunk before they're off and running. And especially with Pella, Pella's like one of his favorites to go to, him and Keyshawn.
Yeah, he did have that windmill slam.
Oh, that was sick.
Pretty cool,
dude. That was one of the moments of the season. The windmill dunk was so sick, and I think it's like people don't realize the kid. I think the thing that stood out to Pella like the first time I saw him like. Is you just see like this guy, he's got an incredible physique, like he's built like crazy. I'm like, well, I don't know what you guys are lifting over there in Sweden, but it looks like everything. It's incredible the kind of shape that he came in, and like that is something that's going to just ingratiate you to the franchise right away. If you take care of your body, your physique, you play hard, like this is a guy that you would feel like they're going to want around for a very long time.
Speaking of that, he signed a 3-year contract, I think it was like a year and a half ago. So he's got this season and the next season coming up. When do you think he'll get a new contract, and like how much do you think he can get?
Not sure. Like, that's an interesting question, because the NBA is in such a weird spot right now with money, because like some of the things are crazy, and then they say like it's all of the stars are getting the crazy money, and then it's kind of weird to figure out what the next wave of guys. Like, Jovic just got a contract that was like 13 to 14 million a year.
Yeah.
And I think if you're like, and Davion Mitchell, who's not necessarily one of the stars of the team, he just got one for like 12. So like, I'd say probably going to be in some type of place at that range if he keeps this up. Like, look, if he hits another level, who the heck knows? Like, if somebody ends up getting traded and he starts more, then maybe he'll have an opportunity to make even more. But I remember, you know, it reminds me of like a couple years ago. Well, not a couple years ago, like more like 10 years ago, they had this player, Josh Richardson, mm-hmm. who was a second round pick, and kind of similar to Pella, like was a little unheralded, 4-year player, worked really, really hard on his shooting, defended like crazy, to the point where like there was a point where the Heat had him as like their lead guy. And I remember him getting something like, I think it was like something in the realm of like 4 years, 45 million, something like that. And so I can see something a little bit more than that, just based on how much more money guys are making if he continues something like this. And then the thing that'll always help with the Heat and getting a new contract is if they're winning, you know, because like right now they're in a spot where the only guys who are signed really long term are Bam and Jovic. And Jovic hasn't had like a great season so far, but, you know, they're still very young. So I think they believe in what he can still bring to the table. But other than that, everybody, Norm Powell, I think Andrew Wiggins is a player option for next year. Tyler's last year is next year. Davion's only goes to next year. So they're putting a lot of flexibility in it, because I think they want to know like, hey, is this, you know, do we have a franchise that's going in a good direction, or do we now need to reset? Things have gone very good so far. And so like, if the Heat make the playoffs and Pella contributes in the playoffs, I think that's going to lead to him probably getting something long term.
Back to like short term thinking here. So here, Tyler Herro's back. Bam was out for a couple of games. We've seen Pelly's like taking a step back. He's still getting like decent minutes, but more like a rotational player. Where do you see things going from here? Like, is he going to start? Is he going to come off the bench? What do you think?
Yeah, he's probably going to be off the bench for a little bit. Well, you know what? He might start. I know we're doing this, so I don't know what's going to air, but I know Norm Powell's missing the game against Dallas, so I wouldn't even be surprised. Although he did hurt his foot, so I'm not sure if he's 100% to go. But assuming he was healthy, I would even say like if Norm was out, he'll probably be the first guy that slides right in there, because he can tween from between, you know, 2-3 and go into that slot. So I think he's always going to be on Spo's top of the mind. Like, if a person's out, the guy he's going to slide in is Pella. But Spo's been doing this thing with this new offense playing as high a pace. He's been playing 10 guys every game, which is a lot for him. So normally it's been going basically like the starters. Tyler Herro is like leaving first, and then they'll usually bring in Jaime, and then they'll bring in the second wave of guys, which has been probably Pella, Kalel Ware, Fontecchio's been playing a little bit. And then Tyler will go back in with Jaime. And so it's kind of been that unit. And then they kind of go from there. So he's always, I think, going to be Drew Smith will play too. Mm-hmm. So he's always going to be in that first wave of reserves that are going to come in. I don't think his playing time is going to be like eradicated. They still love what he brings to the table. The only reason he didn't play the last game a ton was just because he hurt his foot. And so that's probably actually why Fontecchio played, now that I think about it. But he's definitely like between Jaime, it's Jaime, Pella, Kalel, Drew. Like, those are their guys that they're going to bring in with Tyler, probably with that second unit, once Tyler goes out for his first sub. So, you know, Pella's going to play a lot. He's still going to be top of mind, just because Spo's going to value two-way players. He's going to value guys who play defense and can rebound, get guys involved, has a chemistry with Kalel Ware too, which is important because they need guys to feed Ware the basketball. And he's just fearless. Like, he'll take a lot of shots. I think even to a point where they had to encourage him, because, you know, people are looking at like, hey, you can't let open shots go. We need you to shoot. And that, I think that's another thing, is the Heat don't like guys being bashful, and he hasn't been part of that.
You mentioned Kalel, like having a guy like that coming off the bench. Like, obviously there's depth in this team. there was news breaking today that Giannis might be like looking for a trade before the trade deadline. Do you think the Heat should like blow it up and try to go for a guy like Giannis? Or
it's a great question. It's a great question because I think like the Heat have always been the team, like Pat Riley always dreams big for getting like these guys. He refers to them as the whales, you know, like he likes to go and sharpen his harpoons. And there's always been like these guys that kind of define, whether that been Zoe when he traded for Alonzo Mourning, Shaquille O'Neal to pair with Dwayne Wade. Obviously everybody knows about LeBron James and that coup with Chris Bosh. And then they kind of went dry for a little bit. They tried to go after Kevin Durant back before when he ended up going to Golden State. And they never get anybody for a while until they got Jimmy. And then when Jimmy was here, everybody was looking for that next guy, whether it been Giannis or Dame or all that stuff. So I'll never put it past the Heat to take a swing. I think the thing that's interesting with the Giannis situation is, you know, this summer he really seemed like he only wanted to go to the Knicks.
Yeah.
But I think the reasoning for that is not because, you know, obviously people like to go live in New York. It's an awesome city.
Mm-hmm. But so is Miami, right?
But so is Miami. And I think he's mentioned, you know, he loves Florida. He loves, you know, it's international, a lot of different cultures down here. You know, people really say it's like the gateway to the world. It's really cool. You'll see even down here, remember when Luka and Goran Dragic were going up against each other, like the fan base, Slovenia, all over the place. You know, people come here for, if there's a player from Israel, like you'll see a ton of Israeli flags there. Spain, same thing. So that's always kind of a take. French players, it's the same thing. And so I think it's possible, of course, if they get word that he's interested in coming to Miami, which I think they'll have intel in because Bam and Giannis have the same agent.
Right.
And I wouldn't imagine that he wants to be traded to Miami without Bam being here. But I think I'm saying, my long-winded way of saying this is the Heat, you know, coming into the year, you probably wouldn't have thought the Heat to be like a really good team. They're coming off 37 wins. And now I think if you're Giannis and you're looking at the East, you're coming into the year, you're thinking to yourself, well, if I'm leaving Milwaukee, I got to go to a place where I can win a championship. The only place in the East, you're not going to go to the West because there's OKC and Denver and it's just a gauntlet over there. Maybe you would pair with Wembanyama, maybe. But you're going to look at the East, and at the time in the summer, you're looking at it and saying, well, how many teams in the East can win the title? You're probably only looking at New York. But now I think you look at it and you say, man, if I joined Atlanta and they kept most of that core, I think they'd be pretty good. If I joined Toronto, that'd be pretty good. But if I really had city fit, I could go to Miami and I'm still there with Bam and Norm and Wiggins and Tyler Hero. If he wouldn't be in the trade, if he was Davion Mitchell, like that's a pretty good starting five. If they were able to keep somebody like Pella, then you got a little bit of depth. So I'm not going to say, I think if they get the word that Giannis is interested, I think the Heat are going to go in to try and get him. And I think that they would put pretty much everybody on the table outside of Bam Adebayo. I think they would try and do it without giving up Tyler Hero, but it'd be hard, I think, money-wise to make that work. And then you think about fit, like what's a better fit with him and Norm? Is it more win now if you have an urgency to win? Tyler's still a little unproven in the playoffs, whereas Norm, maybe you feel more comfortable. He's won a championship before. So I can't put it, if the Heat really have that window open to them, I think that they will go for that, but there's a couple things. Like, one, they don't have a ton of draft capital. They're a little bit hamstrung by the Terry Rozier trade. And certainly also the uncertainty of it. Like, if they're going to get a pick back, a compensatory pick, are they just stuck out in the cold with it? And then, like, you look at Atlanta. Atlanta's got the Pelicans pick and all their, you know, some allotment there. The, you know, Toronto's got their capital, you know. So they may have more competition. It really will come down to, like, all right, well, what do you want to give up? And they didn't give up Khalil Ware for Kevin Durant. Would they do it for Giannis? I think they probably would. And I don't say that as a knock on Khalil because he has been really, really impressive this year. But I think for Pat Riley's age, I think of Eric Spoelstra coaching young guys, you got a chance to get a two-time MVP. I think they'd probably take that swing if I had to guess.
Right, man. I think we're going to wrap it up right there. Again, thank you so much for coming on the podcast and you're welcome back anytime.
Hey, just send the bat signal. Come on, man. Let me know.
Du har lyssnat på en podcast från Aftonbladet. Ansvarig utgivare är Lotta Folker.